Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now we'll go to our Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from the Louisiana Radio Network, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike, Herb, how you guys doing today?
We doing good. Good, what's the weather report for tonight?
That's right.
And don't tell us rain, please.
Looks like we're going to get some rain, guys.
We watching Georgia Ole Miss is right in front of us. Man, it has come down really hard in that game a couple of different times. And so, Jeff, your thoughts, if we get that type of rain here, how would – just looking at Alabama offensively, LSU offensively, how will that affect both teams?
Well, I think anytime it rains, to me, the advantage goes to the offense because they know where they're going. So, for LSU's defense in particular, and you got them. We've talked about it all week, really, going up against a mobile quarterback in Jalen Milroe, and if that guy is able to get out of the pocket and start making some moves downfield, it'll be up to LSU's linebackers and defensive backs to try to bring them down. Ryan Williams, an outstanding wide receiver for them. It's going to be a challenge for LSU's cornerbacks. I just think always in these type, as long as the wind doesn't pick up and there's really just not a ton of wind here tonight, or at least right now anyways, as long as the wind doesn't pick up, I just always think in conditions like this, it does favor the offense. I think where obviously it goes back in the defense's favor is you got the wet ball situation, harder to hang on to the football. Maybe you get more fumbles, bad snaps. That's something that you always have to watch for. Considering LSU has not been very sharp with the field goals, I think probably the last thing you want is wet conditions out there and the long snap and holding and all that kind of stuff. So I just think it adds another little dynamic, another little wrinkle to this game here tonight and with so much on the line.
Jeff, you brought it up, so I'll continue with it because I wanted to talk to you about it. It looked as though they had the special teams football sort of fixed, and then all of a sudden Texas A&M, and it's like, oh, my God, can anything else go wrong?
That's right.
But to me, it wasn't all about the kicker. It was all about the process of the snap, the hold, and the kick. And you could read the lips of Brian Kelly talking to his deep snapper. You control this.
That's right.
You control it. And, man, he didn't control nothing. And then a snap hits one of them in the head. He don't even try to go for the ball, which is unbelievable, too. Your thoughts on that? Because we had talked about this a couple of weeks back. It looked as though, what Ramos had done, that was the strength of the team.
Yep.
And then, it peels apart against the Aggies.
Yeah, I was talking about going into that Texas A&M game about how Damian Ramos was the – the most unheralded or underappreciated guy on the team. And then all of a sudden he misses a couple of field goals, and then you had the bad snap as well. And you go back to the South Carolina game, they also had a bad snap. Now, you know, Brian Kelly, he's kind of, he's kind of talked out of both sides of his mouth, right? I mean, on this, he's talked about how, hey, it hasn't been that big of an issue. Slade Roy has been an outstanding long snapper for him. There hasn't been that many bad snaps, so I'm not going to get too hard on him. But there was also a lot of talk here, at least since that game against Texas A&M, about, you know, working on the process, as you just mentioned. You know, the snap, the hold, and obviously Ramos's approach to the football. So, it's been something that they've been trying to iron out. You would hope back inside Tiger Stadium, a home game, maybe the crowd, you know, crowd won't be as loud, especially on the snaps when you're kicking the field goal. Crowd quiets down a little bit. Maybe there's a little bit more sense of a communication, or at least everyone on the same page. But yeah, it was just really troubling. For them to struggle like they did, and, you know, in particular when they were trying to at least extend that lead against Texas A&M, missing a couple of field goals, it just allowed Texas A&M to have this belief that they can come back and win that game. And we all saw what happened in the second.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good half. With that being said, that, you know, that second half or the final quarter in the half of that Texas A&M game, Do you think you'll see that same LSU team, or do you think LSU's 2 weeks of preparation for this Alabama game is really going to change the whole mindset and then allow those guys and players and coaching staff and everybody to put that last end of the Texas A&M game behind them?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's the big question going into this game for both teams, because with their 6-2 records on the season, I think both of them have just been very inconsistent. You know, Alabama has looked really strong in games this year. You look at the Wisconsin game, going up to Madison and blowing out the Badgers like they did, and getting that big lead against Georgia. And they looked good last week in a 34-0 win over Missouri. But then they, you know, really kind of a sloppy game against Tennessee. Vanderbilt allowing them to kind of really control the pace of that football game. And then the same for LSU. You know, inconsistent play throughout the entire USC game, kind of poor first half against UCLA, Ole Miss. They didn't really turn it on there till the end. You play a complete game against Arkansas, and then in the second half against the Aggies, you just fall apart like you did. You know, I do feel like some of what happened for LSU in the second half of the last game that they played is just one of those things that occurs to teams when they're on the road in difficult environments like that. And when one bad thing happens, and then all of a sudden the home team, which has been, you know, just kind of scuffling along and not really playing very well, all of a sudden they get a spark. it's just too hard then to flip the momentum back, right? I mean, A&M grabbed the momentum in that football game, and LSU, even though they did score a touchdown during that great run that the Aggies had in the second half, the momentum was just so much on Texas A&M's side, and they played so much more confidently than LSU, and Garrett Nussmeier starts making mistakes, and it just kind of snowballs against them. And you know what? That happens for pretty much every team that ever exists in football, right? You just have one of those situations, and you know, we sit here and we break down, you know, who's got the best running game, or who's got the best defense, or who's got the best defensive line. You know, one of the things you just never put into factor is momentum. And when one team really grabs momentum, it's very difficult to try to turn it back. And LSU found that out the hard way in College Station against the Aggies 2 weeks ago.
Jeff, one of the things tonight, it's a big showcase game, not only for the current players on the LSU team. And you know, if you lose tonight, you're not being in that final 12. But, man, the list of recruits that are coming in tonight, and one from Michigan, certainly with Bryce Underwood being the headliner of it. But, man, this is the type of atmosphere you can sell a recruit on. Hey,
yes,
you
sir.
Get to play in Tiger Stadium. You get to see this atmosphere a Saturday night in Tiger Stadium going up against a top opponent like Alabama. So, man, I just feel as though you got a lot riding here, because the young men get caught up in a moment too.
Yep.
I do think, you know, if you're 16, 17, 18 years old, you can get caught up in that moment.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And it's great, you know, with all of this smoke around whether Bryce Underwood really will truly stay an LSU commitment and sign with LSU in December, for him to make his visit here and then have all these other five-star prospects, the DJ Pickett and the Harlan Berry and Jakeem Stewart, and having all these other guys that are here on campus, I think it's a big deal for LSU, and they're gonna feel the environment. You know, when I'm sure when Alabama hosted Georgia back in September, they had a ton of 4 or 5 star prospects on their campus, and you have these type of games, and this is where you can really showcase it. But if LSU, you know, doesn't come out on top here tonight, I don't think any of those kids that are here sit there and say, well, you know, LSU lost to Alabama, maybe I should start looking at Alabama. Because, you know, these kids in high school, they lose too, right? They understand that you can't win actually every single game. But the environment should be incredible tonight. You know, hopefully the rain doesn't dampen it too much, but yeah, this is a time for LSU to really put its best foot forward and you know, seal the deal with some of these guys, because National Signing Day is right around the corner. Remember, it's right after the conference championship game this year. So there's not much time left here when it comes to the 2025 recruiting cycle. I know you still have the February signing date, but as we know, most of the guys sign in December now, not February.
Yeah, you brought up Moore, the wide receiver who's verbally committed to Oregon. Man, I thought that check had cleared from Phil Knight by now. Man, I know Phil got a few dollars to his name.
That's right.
You know, he's selling a few Nike stuff here and there. But it's so interesting. Here's a young man who had been committed since the summer, and now he's going to make this trip late, you know, to see LSU.
It's different.
It's a different world we live it in.
Oh, it certainly is, especially with the NIL and all that. And, you know, guys, you know, there's some guys that, you know, just they shut it down. I make my decision, and that's where you go. It's a little bit easier with, like, Louisiana kids to do that. You know, for instance, I had a chance to see Alexandria Senior High running back JT Lindsey last night, and that kid is phenomenal, very fast, got a kind of a Caden Durham term vibe about him, and he kind of glides out there on the field, but he's a kid from Alexandria, and he was just kind of waiting for LSU to finally offer him, you know, and he's sitting in Frank Wilson's office in last April before the spring game, and LSU offers him, and he says yes, and that's it, sayonara, that's where he's going. And then so it's hard to it's hard to obviously, you know, if some other school wanted to come in on JT and start really recruiting him, it's pretty difficult because his heart's set on going to LSU. So always a little easier when it comes to those Louisiana guys. You know, same with Harlan Berry. I mean, he committed a long time ago, and nobody else really seems to he hasn't swayed. But, you know, the Bryce Underwood situation, especially when you're hearing all this, the money that's being floated out there, and the quarterback that Michigan had committed to its class has decommitted. So Michigan's looking for a quarterback for its 2025 class. That's where you get a little nervous, and you can't wait till you get to signing day and get him to sign, and then know that it's a done deal, and he's coming to LSU and nowhere else.
Your thoughts on the development of Aaron Anderson? Because, you know, Herb and I have talked about
that's
it.
That's my guy.
And Herb kind of called it early that he felt this would be Aaron's opportunity to make some big plays and show a big, and he certainly has. And without Chris Hilton, I mean, they really needed Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the slot or out wide. And then, you know, you got Trey Daz outside also. But your thoughts on the development of Aaron Anderson? He was a guy highly recruited. I remember I went to a camp and he told me, I'm committed to LSU as long as Coach O's there. If he's not there, then I'm going to Alabama. And sure enough, he went there, spent a year there, and then came back. Your thoughts on you see the growth in Aaron Anderson, much more confidence than a year ago.
Well, I mean, I think it really it goes back to that USC game where he had a really nice game in that first game, and there's just the confidence grew from that, and I think that's what he was waiting for. It took a while for him. I mean, last year it was just hard for him to get consistent passes or really even have consistent playing time a season ago when he got Malik Nabers and you got Brian Thomas out there and you got Kyron Lacy out there. I mean, those guys are going to end up getting most of the passes thrown in their direction, and you throw Mason Taylor in there. So you got four guys, and Chris Hilton was part of it. I really do think the injury to Chris Hilton in the preseason opened the door up for Aaron Anderson, because if Hilton doesn't get hurt, your three guys are going to be Lacy, Hilton, and C.J. Daniels. And so then again, it's going to be Aaron Anderson trying to figure out what his role is and make when he has an opportunity, make a play, and he might not get a lot of opportunities. But Hilton's injury opens the door for Aaron Anderson, and this is a kid that took advantage of it. I mean, he was a top prospect in the state of Louisiana coming out of Carr High School. It was a blow to see him go to Alabama, and then when he comes to LSU, you got Nick Saban telling him, hey, if you would have stayed at Alabama, you'd be playing and not sitting on the sidelines like he sat for most of the game or for most of the season last year. So, I mean, credit to Aaron Anderson. I mean, he just kind of stuck with it. It had to be pretty frustrating. You go to one school, decide to come back, and then when you come back to that school or you come to LSU and you don't really get the playing time, and you probably – your mind is kind of wandering a little bit, and you're thinking about, well, maybe do I got to go out and move again here as far as going through the transfer portal? But he ends up sticking with it. Hard work, he gets rewarded, makes a few big plays in the USC game, and it just kind of took off from there. And let's see if he can have a big game here tonight.
I was talking to Ryan Fowler. We have a weekly show I do with him in Tuscaloosa, and one of the things he brought up to me, we talked about the kicking game with Ramos, and he was like, man, you know, we kind of got spoiled with Weichert here. I mean, he was an unbelievable kicker. He said, Mike, the kicker we got now, he's never been put in a spot where he got to kick a game-winning kick. He said, now, all punting is unbelievable. He said, the punter we got now, he's a stud. But he said, I don't know, because he's never been put in that position before. He said, you would figure he may get put in that spot, and it's in Tiger Stadium.
Well, when I was – yeah, I mean, it was crazy, because when I was looking at the statistics, I mean, we've played eight games, and Graham Nicholson, the field goal kicker for Alabama, has only kicked six field goals. I mean, there's times he's just standing around there and only just kicking PATs. I mean, only six field goals all season. His long is 47, but he was the Lou Groza Award winner a season ago at Miami of Ohio. He beat out Reichert for that award. So he had a massive season at Miami of Ohio a season ago, but this year he just really hasn't had much of an opportunity. So he may get some chances here tonight, because you go back to the Ole Miss game I think one of the keys for the Tigers in that game was when Alabama got into the red zone, LSU was able to shut them down, not allow them to get into the end zone. And so I think LSU's been pretty good at that this season, of really playing a bit of the bend but don't break type of style of defense. And they may be calling on Graham Nicholson a lot more here, but the kid is obviously talented. He was very good at Miami of Ohio, but obviously a little bit different when you're kicking in front of 102,000 instead of 12,000 like you do at MAC games.
Yeah, Ryan told me I didn't watch him when he was in the MAC. So he only got six kicks. And he said he doesn't kick off. He says that's the other part.
Yeah.
And so he said we got a designated guy to kick off. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always appreciate your time and your insights, buddy.
All right, guys. You have a good one. Thanks a lot.
All right. That was Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network. That will close out our Inside the Tiger Den segment, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go will be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.